All right, can I be junior high-ish for just a second? No? Okay, I've been told I can't. I'm going to be too anyway, because a junior higher, when told no, does it anyway.
Yeah.
I know, that's true. So, this is how my mind works. So, sometimes when I'm preaching and I go down a rabbit trail, it's just because it's my mind. Other times, it's the Holy Spirit that says, go here. This was totally me, not the Holy Spirit. As Marguerite was going over that we'll be at the pastor's pool on Tuesday, I went, ooh, alliteration, PP. Junior high alliteration. And then I thought, this is great. The teens need to hear this. We want you at the pool, not your PP in the pool. So that's where my mind goes sometimes when I hear those things. And my students go, what happens? Yeah. Yeah. So that was the clean presentation, yes. But a Holy Spirit thing as we transition. When we were singing Good, Good Father, the verse that kept just kind of rushing over me was, I love him because he first loved me. And then I started thinking about love, and I sat down, and I wasn't singing anymore, and I was just kind of, you know, what does it mean that I love God because he first loved me? Well, we all know, yes, I love God because he set up the whole salvation plan. He rescued me, and my love is just in response to that rescue. It's more than that. And then I got to thinking of, oh, there's this phrase, love at first sight. And I jokingly sometimes say it was love at first sight with my wife. It technically was, because her and I had never met. We're both praying separately. We're tired of the dating game. Let the next person that we see just let us know that that's the one. So it wasn't like, oh, and then she was revealed. Several weeks passed. I went to a nursing home, which is where I met my wife, even though she is only slightly older than me by 6 months. And I saw her, and she saw me, and we struck up a conversation, and both had been praying for the Lord to bring the one into our life. So there is love at first sight. I understand that. But then I got thinking about God. He had love without sight. He hadn't created a single thing, and yet he knew, when I create it, this is going to happen, and this is going to start, and my son will be sacrificed so that I can re-love the human race. So he loved us without even sight of us. He didn't have to create us and then say, oh, I am so in love with this creation, now they've sinned, I'm going to make a plan. He knew, I'm going to create them because I love them so much, even knowing that it's going to be disastrous on their end, but it's going to be glorious on my end. So I was just kind of overwhelmed by God's love. One thing I wanted to do, since we are a smaller group, I'm going to open us in prayer, and I want you to be thinking, because we're a smaller group, you're probably never going to get a smaller group in our church, and then Pastor Darrell says, would anyone like to share something? So this is your chance. If you're shy of large crowds, that you can share if God has laid something on your heart. But I got to thinking, we've transitioned from, or we're transitioning from, hearing God and being his disciple. So I'm wondering if there was some leftover hearing from God moments that you feel more comfortable sharing in a smaller setting. I gave you mine hearing from God moment about love without sight. You know, he loved me first regardless, and that's why I love him back. So let me pray, and then I'll open up the mic, which is right there. And if someone has something we want to share, great. If not, I have a lesson prepared, and we can move from there. So, Father, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are already present. God, you tell us where two or three are gathered together, your presence is there. God, open our ears and our eyes to see your presence more fully. God, not just in a church service or a worship song or devotions or prayer, but in the mundane things in life, in the flat tire, in the late appointment, in the frustration, all of those things, Lord, you are working all of those things together for our good. Whether we see it or not, God, give us faith that is sightless. We don't have to see before we believe. God, give me the words to say. May it bring blessing to each of us. May it bring comfort. May it bring peace. May it bring a greater understanding of what hearing from you and being a disciple of you truly is. In your name we pray, amen. So does anyone have anything they want to share? I always joke with Daryl that when I do this, no one shares because it's me. Excellent. So you've got the handheld. You're on for, I don't know, the dozen people listening at home.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to say I got pool prayers to what you were saying. So I just figured I'd mention that before.
Nice.
Okay, so it means pool prayers. And then I just want to say that during the worshiping, and it happens, I wanted to sing out in tongues, but I didn't. So I don't know what that means. I'm just letting you know that I felt like singing out in tongues, but I didn't.
Go for
so
it next
I wouldn't
time.
I wouldn't
I'm not going to stop
anybody. But I'm just saying I didn't know if I should. Yeah. But I find myself wanting to.
Well,
I just wanted to let you know that I do find myself wanting to.
So again, Daryl can override what I say if he wants to. I doubt he will. But when we're doing antiphonal singing, which is kind of that weird thing where Micah is singing or Nikki is singing or someone is singing, but it's not the words on the screen and we're just kind of all singing praise, that's our time to praise God from our heart. And if it comes through tongues, it comes through tongues. Yeah, that's perfectly fine and safe. That's a time that I think we would look and say that's decently and proper, you know, in the church. I myself sat back there and was just overwhelmed by God's love and just the thoughts. I couldn't even put into words how much at that moment I loved him. And so that's perfectly fine, Ricky. Thank you for bringing that up. And yeah, the rest of the church gets back and we're a little crazy. It's their fault for leaving. So, all right, someone else.
I could probably say several things and it might take some time, so I'll just keep this short. Some time back in the 90s, there was a man who owned some property, and he wanted to have the trees harvested so that he could get some money from it. This piece of property is really just on the south edge of Route 101 between Wilton and Peterborough. It's called the Sheldrake Grove or something like that now. The loggers came to cut the trees, and they said, "We aren't cutting these." They wouldn't do it. Ultimately, the Nature Conservancy raised money to buy the property, and the trees have not been cut. It's a spiritual experience to walk in that forest. I encourage you to look it up. And so that you know where it is, it's right behind the restaurant that used to be called Dick's for a long time on 101. There's a turn off there going in towards Ipswich or someplace like that. It's now called Sherman's Pit Stop. It's a decent restaurant, so you can combine it with some food. I've had spiritual experiences in forests out west, the redwoods and so on, and this is akin to that. So I recommend you look it up.
So fellowship and food in the forest. There's my more alliteration. Yes, my students are. I feel like this is more a class. There's a smaller group. But there is something to be said about nature, and I know David and Ethan, who hike profusely from this church body, would say the same thing. There is something cool about just being in the woods alone or with one or two people and God shows up. And we see his power and majesty in nature. And I know we've all probably had those moments where we just look at nature and we feel a closer communion with the Holy Spirit. Someone else? All right, if you have anything throughout the sermon, and I truly mean this, I don't often say this because students tend to try to take you on rabbit holes on purpose so they don't have to learn. I trust that we are past that at our current ages. So Daryl talked about kind of wrapped up spiritual communion with God, hearing his voice, by starting out in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. And I'm going to do a quick review. And I thought this verse was so powerful as I re-listened to the message online, which is the cool thing about COVID. We can now re-listen to things. I don't know about you, but I forget a lot of things, especially if I don't hear them multiple times. And so I was able this week to re-listen to the message. And these things struck me. And may you have power to understand, as all God's people should. So we should understand the things of God. So it's plain in Ephesians, as Paul is writing. You should understand many of the things of God. Here's what I want you to understand: how wide, how long, how high, how deep is his love. I mean, that pretty much covers all the directions. So north, east, south, west. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep is love. May you experience the love of Christ. And then he gives us, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and powers that come from God. We must understand the fullness of all that God offers to us as disciples of Jesus. And I don't know who said last week, it's not just a retirement plan. Too many of us, I think, are so eternally focused. We're like, I am saved, and praise God, one of these days I'm going to be out of this world, and the annoyances of it will be gone, and I'll be with him. And that is so true, and that's a great promise from God. But I mean, if that was all that it was meant to be, and he truly loved us, I would be saved, and boom, translated to heaven, and I would be with him, and all my problems would be over. But he loves us enough that he wants to stay here for a purpose. He wants us to experience how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. He wants us to understand that, even though we will never fully understand that until we're with him in glory. And I love the car analogy. Ron got a new to him car, and it's a newer car, and Ron's other car probably had the windows that cranked up. I had a car like that, so I'm also aging myself out on that. And now you can't find a car with crank windows. Everything has a button to push or this to do, or, you know, the seats go down, and it takes forever to figure out which thing you hit to work what. And as he and Jay were sitting in the car looking through the manual and didn't understand it, I think that just struck me so much, that we don't fully understand God's features and options that he has for us. And that's why Paul wrote, I want you, you have the power to understand this, but experience his love. And when you're stuck in his love and you're thinking on that, you will find out more of these features and options in your life if you dwell in his love. We're all too, or at least I'm all too spec-oriented, and find the guide and find out, okay, if I press this and then do this and then do this, it's going to clear this check engine light. God's like, it's not a formula with me, it's falling in love with me. And then as you fall in love with me, I'm going to show you the next step to take, and then the next step to take. I'm thankful he doesn't give me my entire manual of, okay, here is age 51 to age whatever I die at, and he shows me everything, because some of the things I would be like, that is too hard for me, I don't want that, Lord. Or some of the things I'd be like, well, that's not fun enough, Lord. But if I'm in love with him each step along the way, I get to experience those features, those options of the Lord. So let's dwell in his love. We're going to review another passage that we should all have memorized, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And I wanted to recap what Daryl said about save. There is so much different than just get out of jail free card. Like when the message was going, he asked the people to raise their hands. Who of you got saved because it was a way not to go to hell? And there was a lot of people that raised their hands. I was like that, 5 years old, you know, not knowing much. Every message you heard about fire and brimstone sounded like it was an unpleasant place to be. Every message you heard about heaven was pleasant. Why wouldn't I do the logical thing in my mind at 5 years old and choose, well, what's my choice? Punishment, freedom. Simple, choose to be saved. And I didn't want the punishment. It took me years to unwrap. In junior high, I went through this whole thing. Did I really get saved for the right reason? It was the whole, if I only got saved for what I could get out of it, is that really salvation? So I had lengthy discussions with my youth pastor about, you know, are you saved if you're just trying to avoid a punishment? I don't know how many students I've had. Oh, I am so sorry, Mr. Berger, I did that. Please forgive me. And when they get forgiven, they're like, oh, there's no punishment with this. This is great. So I really love the fact that sozo, the Greek word, means save, deliver, heal, make right, protect, do good by. There's so much more to salvation than just no longer destined for hell, destined for heaven. Because if that's the way we look at it, we're going to miss the blessings of deliverance on this earth, healing physically, mentally, spiritually. We're going to miss all of those things to make things right. Not only us making things right with God, because I don't know about you, but since 5, I've had a few sins in my life that I've had to confess and walk out my salvation with fear and trembling, as Paul tells us to do. You know, it's like, oh, dear Lord, forgive me for that and help me stay on the path. Dear Lord, change my heart attitude towards this person. I don't like them very much, but you've told me to love them. There's been changes to make right. He protects us. Not in every way we think, but he protects us. I think that's more a spiritual promise, that he's going to protect my inner man, and I can say it is well with my soul. Even if protection outside, I mean, you look at the disciples, all of them but one died a martyr's death. And we could look at that and say, well, he didn't protect them. He didn't save them. Well, yeah, Micah and I were talking yesterday over breakfast. Stephen looking up to heaven when he's being stoned, probably not the most pleasant of deaths. People throwing rocks at you until you no longer moved, and then they ran down and made sure that you were dead by throwing more on top of you. Yet he sees the glory of God and forgives the people who are stoning him. Want to talk about protection, eternal protection, heart protection, not physical protection, even though he does do that. And then I love to do good by. And again, God is working all things for our good. He does good by even when Satan throws something in our life that trips us up, God uses that. Even when there's a mess up in our family life, when we yell at our kids, you know, because they've done something boneheaded and we're trying, God will use that. Some of my best moments and connections with my students have come when I have just lost it with them and then came back and apologized and said, my heart was in the right place. The way I presented it was wrong. I was trying to get you to understand this, and I lost my cool. Please forgive me. And they're like, what adult would ever say, please forgive me, to a teenager who at that time thinks they know it all, don't really. One thing I've also learned, going back to Ephesians, I don't fully understand. I actually think I know less about the Lord now than I did when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, I thought I knew it all, and God has opened up my mind to say there's so much more you have to learn if we just sit and learn. So being a disciple means God loves us. Matthew 28:19-20, Daryl touched on this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. I love the fact that a disciple has to make disciples. There's this multiplication principle that occurs. It's not about, oh, I am a disciple of Christ, I will sit at his feet and learn, and that's all I ever do. No, there's a learning process, then there is a teaching process. We are told to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. One of the coolest things about being a disciple of Christ, and we will discuss what a disciple actually is, looking at the Greek word for that. One of the things with a disciple is he has promised never to leave us or forsake us. He is always with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So whenever I am teaching others or trying to help others, I always have backup. It's never, oh, I think you should, or, you know, I think the most practical application of what we've learned here could be this. It's like, stop, pray, ask God to intervene, because he will give us the words we need to say in situations. That's learning from the master. It's not, okay, I've plugged in, I've got all the information, God, now I'm going to go and replicate that. That's putting myself actually in the place of God, which is what some unfortunately do. They think they have it all figured out, and they write, you know, the 7 steps to a great disciple, and that book comes out, and you follow these steps, and we're 1 step away from the author of discipleship, God. Or someone writes a book about someone else's book, and it was big in the late 90s to read these synopsises of books, you know, and we were given some at one of the places where I worked. Here's the synopsis of the book, so you get everything in a nutshell. If you think about that, then I'm getting someone's opinion on someone's book about someone else's opinion about the thing. And being a history teacher, I'm like, well, wait a second. Don't you just like go back to the original and kind of look at what the original meant? And I don't need to filter through a lot of that. Now, some of those may be helpful in understanding. But man, a lot of times as disciples, we're like, oh, I've got to run out and get this latest book from, you know, this author because I want more spiritual power. And it's like, I sometimes wonder if God's just up in heaven. I love you so much. Don't you understand? It's in the pages of the manual I gave you. And just read that. Just read that. Let my Holy Spirit enlighten those words to you. You know, used to when I prepared for messages, because you're taught this in college, you go to Matthew Henry's commentary, and then you've got this commentary, and you've got that commentary. And I looked, and I realized I'm spending like 20 minutes reading the scripture from scripture, and I'm spending 14, 18, 20 hours reading what other people thought about this scripture. And I'm not saying Matthew Henry, godly man, okay? And I love to still read his commentaries. But it was like, wait a second, why don't you hear from me first and then see if it's confirmed in some of these other people? It's exactly what Paul told the disciples at Berea. Hear what I'm saying, read the word, see if it's confirmed by God, and if it is, do it. We'd do a lot better as disciples if that's what we did. If we checked everything we're told to do by counselors, therapists, whoever, by God's word and with the Holy Spirit. He has promised never to leave us or forsake us. Matthew 10, 7 and 8 and Luke 10, 9, he sends the disciples out. In Matthew 10, I love how Daryl pointed the progression out of this. This was to just the 12 in Matthew 10. Go and announce the kingdom of heaven is near, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons. His first command wasn't, go tell them about my coming kingdom so that they can be saved and have an eternity in heaven. It was, heal people that are sick, minister to needs. If someone's dead, you have the power to raise them. Cure leprosy, make a difference in someone's actual physical life and what they're doing. And then my mind went as I was re-listening to the message, you know, if you see someone that's hungry and you say, be full, and then you go away and don't give them food, that didn't help them one, we say down south, diddly squat. Okay, nothing. And it's like, man, so if I help people first with little things that we see as eternally insignificant. So whether, you know, whether I am sick, whether I have cancer, whether I'm struggling with this or that, those are temporary things. And spiritually we see that. But someone who is not there, the biggest thing in their life is, I don't have food to put on my table. I've lost my job. I'm about to lose my home. My wife is sick with cancer. Those are the things that, and when we can meet them in those needs, they open up to listening to more. It must be a good class a student wants to speak, who's also a teacher.
Holy Spirit, thank you so much for my day yesterday. I was visiting a friend, and it was the second time when I was with her. The first time was a while back, and I could see that her TMJ was starting to add up, and her face was going crooked, and it's the second time we were eating and the second time I was with her, and we stopped and I said, is it okay, Deborah, if we pray? And we did. And for the second time, the Lord healed her TMJ, never does it go away without 3 days, but it did these two times in our lives. And yesterday, after that, she's been talking about some things that she's been praying for quite directively without really listening to the Holy Spirit. So it came on me to ask her if she wanted to learn her private prayer language, if she felt ready. And she was, and she did. And she called me yesterday to show me and pray with me about things. And so she is now praying in tongues for situations that have been unknown to her, and she's open to the Holy Spirit. So awesome. What we were talking about didn't matter. Healing mattered, and it opened her up to receive her gift from the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. So real life example of scripture right there. Again, meeting needs, and that opens up our ability to meet spiritual needs. So challenge number one for us is when you see someone who has a need, figure out how to meet it. Okay, we have various groups here that meet needs. It might be you just personally meeting that need. And it can be something that doesn't even cost you monetarily. It can be just praying for the person and letting the Lord take over. Because remember, he's with us. He's never going to leave us on our own. In Luke 10:9, heal the sick, tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. That was the 72 he sent out. So he sends out a small elite group, then he sends out a bigger group. I wonder if that bigger group, and we're not told this from Scripture, it's just my mind wandering down one of those rabbit holes, is if the test group went out and came back with results, then more people were excited. I'm going to try to do this. So I will again put a plug in. If you have been freed from something, released from something, have a testimony of a friend, share that in front of others, even if you're timid. Because when I hear that, I'm like, whoa, God is still answering prayer. I should pray for, and it makes me pray earnestly for someone. Or wow, I need to be more in tune with the Spirit as I walk through everyday life because, would I have actually thought someone has TMJ? That's just a normal thing in life. We're eating food. They show a little pain. Would I have stopped? Pause, don't eat. Let's pray for that. Or would I have just been like, we all have our pains and aches, and we just move through that, and we continued with the conversation and maybe never got to go deeper. But hearing that, it's like, yeah, I should stop and pray for that. Even if God doesn't heal, it's a moment. It's a moment in time with that person's life. And then in Mark 16:15-18, the ascension prayer. We don't know exactly how many people were at the ascension. He went up and followers were following him, but I believe it was probably more than the 72. And again, as they see him leaving, he says, wait for the Holy Spirit. He's promised them, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm leaving now because if I don't leave, you won't have the fullness of power in your life. And I want the best for you. And it's best that I leave you so you have me every day inside of you and you can testify to me. And then Daryl made the joke about handling snakes and drinking poison. And I think it was very apt to point out, I do believe, as Daryl believes, this is when you get into a situation where something happens and God miraculously steps in. This is not tempting fate. This is not going out, standing in front of the train tracks, seeing the train coming and saying, Lord, if you want me to live and be a servant for you, stop that train. Okay, and I always envision Gandalf, thou shalt not pass. It's not about me. That's showy. And God rescued him. But then the pride's on me. This is if you're doing everyday stuff and something happens and you cry out to God to help you, he will help you. All right, now we move into about 10 minutes of teaching and hopefully a little bit of prayer time. John 8:31-32. I stole these from Daryl. They were in his notes, and I felt it was the next step. Yes, Peter? Hold on 1 second. Internet land wants to hear you.
Well, I wanted to bring up that I've had a feeling for a long time about some of the ideas and the teachings that things like the healings and words of knowledge and prophecies and so forth, that was for another time. That's not for now. and maybe it's something in my faith. I prayed for people, and nothing seems to happen. So, yeah, I guess maybe it's right. It was an earlier time. You know, you can come to that conclusion. So I'm just bringing it up that it's an issue for me and maybe some other people. What happened just a few minutes ago relating something that's great. I love it. I've never had that experience. Will I ever? So I just feel Jesus needs to be gentle with me and help me with this.
Amen.
And I think some other people in the church are wondering about these kinds of prayers. It has to be somebody else besides me wondering.
Oh, I'm there with you.
I mean, but it's like the guy says, oh, yes, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. I'm right there with that guy.
Yeah, that's one of my go-to scriptures. I will say this, pray big prayers and expect God to show up big. And if he doesn't, it's not on you. You prayed the prayer for God to show up.
Yeah, except the one thing I can say is I was healed. I was in bed for 2.5 years. I had a birth defect that showed up on my back, and I was bedridden when I was 24 years old, and it was very, very difficult. Long story short, I ended up going to I didn't even know Jesus healed. I just was saved, and that's all I knew. I didn't have any idea. And I saw, I'm watching a television show, saw a Catholic priest, his name is Father Diorio, didn't realize that people were getting healed through his ministry, and I just said, oh, if I go there, I'm going to be healed. And so I ended up going, and I was on a retreat, and I was laying across 5 chairs because I couldn't sit. I couldn't sit up. I had braces. I was a mess. And I was kind of laying across 5 chairs. Everybody went to dinner, and I couldn't sit. And I just said to the Lord, if you would heal me for your glory, I will step out in faith and come into this ministry, Lord, and I will serve you. And because there's people here that are so much sicker than me, and I'm so young. And about an hour later, I was anointed, and I felt a fire go through my body like I've never known. And I was just sitting there, and this woman said, tried to pray. She said, I can't even touch your spine. You're being healed. And I was so overwhelmed. Took off my brace, could sit for the whole rest of the retreat. They said, if you're healed, go to a doctor to verify it. Went to my doctor. They took an x-ray. My doctor came out, and his face was like placid white. He's like, you need to come here. And so when he showed the x-rays, my vertebrae, the vertebrae when I was in bed was slipped out of place and it was ripped. Only thing that kept that side was just fibrous tissue that ripped. I had nothing to hold up this side of my body. When you looked at the other x-ray, my vertebrae was perfect, back in place and absolutely normal. And he said, I had no human hand could do this. You've had a miracle. And so I did step out in faith, and I was in the healing ministry for 2.5 years. I saw people walk out of wheelchairs, eyes open, ears. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And even here, we prayed over several people that have been healed. Like, unbelievable stuff's happening here that maybe you don't know about yet, but lots of people right now. And so all I can say to you is healing is real. God is more than willing to heal us. He's no respecter of persons. It has nothing to do with me. I'm like, so nobody, no nothing. It's just somebody who's willing and who God happened to have, you know, kind of anointed that gift with. But it's very real. And I think we will be doing this till the day Jesus comes back, because he loves us enough to want to set us free. You know, he loves us enough to bring his spirit upon us and to move and to let people feel who he is, because he's so real. And so as we just are open to that, open to the miracles and open to the Holy Spirit just coming and falling and just upon us and just using us, there's a sweetness to healing and a sweetness to the Lord that is so real. And I believe that we're coming into a time of revival, that we're going to see healings and miracles that you can't even fathom or imagine. I believe that the Holy Spirit's coming now in a time that is going to be so powerful, and I believe God's doing amazing work even in this little church. And I believe that we're going to see God do even greater things, because he said he would. And I think we're coming into that time. So it's happening. All I can tell you is that it's happening. And you know, as we pray with people, they're coming back saying, Karen, like, you know, this is gone and that is gone. It's amazing. And so all I can say is just, it's good that you're questioning. In some ways, but just be open, and he'll show you. He'll show you the cool things that he's doing right now. So.
Amen. 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 Yeah, so I'll give you a personal encouragement, Peter, and then I'll give you the mic back. You can turn it on there. But a personal and then a scriptural encouragement to that. So I was reading in my devotions about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, somewhere in there, about, you know, Samuel being called by God, and he heard God speak, and he ran into Eli, and Eli said, "I didn't call you," and it had to happen three times. And during that time, the voice of the Lord was not heard often because of the sins of the people. And it took Eli, the high priest, the one who yearly went in and made that sacrifice, who should have known everything, should have been hearing from God. He didn't hear because of the sins of the people. And I do believe in our own personal lives, sin in our life can block God using us to heal. I also believe corporate sin, even national sins, generational sins, and Alex and Marguerite are working with breaking generational bonds through their deliverance program that they have. There's something about, we're too busy to listen to God, and that's why I think the past 18 plus weeks of hearing from God has set the field, and it's adjusting some of our thoughts. So that's the scriptural example. The personal example, I came from a very conservative church. All of the sign gifts ceased once the apostles passed away. I found friends at a very charismatic church who had a different opinion on that. And I spent time with them because they love the Lord and I love the Lord, and was asked to go on a mission trip with them. And on my mission trip with this church, we had a group that wanted prayer. And they put all of the leaders, and somehow I became a leader, even though I'm like, I'm not charismatic, this is out of my comfort zone. And I had a bunch of teenagers surrounding me and were praying for someone. And across the way, someone was praying for someone, and this lady let out the weirdest guttural shriek I've ever heard, and I had no doubts that it was a demon had just left her body. Like, literally, and I had never experienced that. We were basically overseas in an area where people were poor and desperate for the Lord, and you see more miracles when you're desperate because you have no other hope and you cry out. Scared me literally almost to death. And then I had a guy who was having back issues, and we were praying for him, and I prayed, a couple of the kids prayed, and I made the mistake of asking, "Do you feel any better?" Because usually you pray for someone and then you move them along and everything's good. And he's like, through the interpreter, "I feel nothing." He was Ukrainian, nothing. It was just one word, nothing. And the kids look at me and I'm like, "Well, what am I supposed to do? We prayed." And I'm like, "Okay, we'll pray again." We prayed again, nothing. Prayed again. And the kids are looking at me. I said, "You know what, guys? If God can deliver someone from a demon, which is way bigger than this, he can do this. We're just going to keep praying until it happens." And like, literally, I'm like, why did I just say that? Because this is not good. Because if he, and he doesn't know what we're praying for. So I can't, there was no, I think God used this to show me. There was no way I could manipulate the situation with saying, "Oh, are you feeling a little warmth? Is this happening? Is that happening?" There was no way. He couldn't understand a word I was praying in English or the kids. There was no way I could manipulate the situation to give him euphoria, to give him a placebo effect or anything. And I'm like, "Well, crap, Lord, you now have to step in because I can't do it. It's obvious we've prayed and nothing's working. So, Lord, why not you now?" And one of the kids prayed, laid their hands on him. I had my hand on his back, and I felt warmth, you know. And I just asked the translator, "Anything." That's the only word I used, because I didn't want to say, "Do you feel warmth?" I just said, "Anything." She said something to him, and he just nodded his head a little bit. He goes, and he held up his fingers to me, like, a little bit. And again, me being naive and dumb at the time, I'm like, "God doesn't heal a little bit. We want more." So kids prayed, and I think we prayed for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes over this one dude, and he was healed from his back pain. And I'm like, "Okay, God, so you can do this. And it doesn't matter if it's a big one or a small one, it's all the same to you." So scripturally, I think we don't want it enough sometimes in our life. We're too comfortable, or sin is breaking that. But man, we've heard from the Lord. We're there. Go ahead.
Well, I did have a healing after my wife died. About 24 hours later, I was riding in a car with my son. And I sensed a presence. And I knew that the presence was my wife. And she spoke to me and said, "I'm very happy, and I'm happy for you." And then the presence went away. And I told people after that, time and time and time again, you got to read John 3:16 again, and he talks about inheriting eternal life. If you've ever wondered about heaven and eternal life, you bet, it's real. So I'm saying it to you again, it's real.
As I was sitting here, I just kept hearing, he does not despise the small things. And I looked it up, and it is Zechariah 4:10. For who hath despised in the work of God the day of small things is not to be despised. God often chooses weak instruments to bring around mighty things. And though the beginnings be small, he can make the latter end greatly to increase. Zechariah 4:10. So write that down for ourselves. And I'm reminded as a teacher how many times in 47 years I had no clue what my day's seeds brought. And I had a dream the other night that I was a seed, and I might not see in my lifetime, but I'm planting seeds. It's the smile in the grocery store. It's opening the door. Be God, be Jesus, listen to the Holy Spirit every minute. Do not despise the small things, trust God. And that's what I got as I was listening. He loves us, he made us to be where we are. Love who you are. Look at yourself in the mirror and praise the Lord, he made you like you are. If we were all the same, we've all heard this, right? If we were all the same, only one of us would be necessary. Praise you, Lord, for our uniquenesses. Thank you.
Amen. That's a great segue for learning. No, it really is. It's the small things. So I only have two small things. Two small things. But first, you've got to answer a question. What is the definition of a disciple to you? There are no wrong answers. There's a correct Jesus answer, but there's a lot of, again, Daryl mentioned, you can get five people in the room and they talk about discipleship and they have five different ideas. So just something, yell it out real quickly and I'll repeat it back for our online guys. What is being a disciple?
Being his hands and feet.
Okay, being his hands and feet, absolutely.
Studying.
Follow. Okay, I think that's the most common one we hear, follow.
Guide,
emulate, all good things. So the Greek word is mathetes, and it means, literal translation, learner. Now, how do most of us learn? Trial and error, okay? Most of my students do not learn by just seeing it, they learn by doing it. You give them a math problem and they see, then they have to do. So part of learning, the Greek word for disciple, learning is you learn, you are taught, but you act. You're the hands and feet. You are emulating what you have been taught. And if we are disciples of Christ, we emulate what he was doing. And if we go back to the small things, you know what? Jesus didn't raise that many people from the dead. But man, he touched a lot of lives. He changed a lot of sinners into saints. He pulled people out of the life they were living into a new life. a lot of those miracles that we pass over weren't even physical healings. Like the woman at the well. Think about that. I mean, there is a miracle of a life transformed and the people in that country now believe in Christ because of that. The Ethiopian eunuch coming back. Yeah, there was no miracle there other than he enlightened him with the scriptures. And when he heard the scriptures, hey guys, come on down. We are finished down there. Donna told me she would be short. So join us for being a disciple and a learner. And maybe your parents can learn something by how well you entered in. So see, we can get them to behave. So think about that. The Ethiopian who was reading Isaiah and he's enlightened and he goes back and the Ethiopian church was born. That wasn't a physical miracle, but man, there were miracles leading up to that. Stephen was actually, as soon as he did his job, this is what I love about God. He doesn't let us rest on our laurels. As soon as he did his job of explaining scripture, and the guy said, hey, there's water. What's keeping me from being baptized? Nothing. Let's go get baptized. Immediate. And then boom, God yanks him out supernaturally and takes him to somewhere else. It's like, job done, on to next job. Be a learner. Stephen wasn't able to gloat and say, let me go back to your country and preach to your entire country. He did that with one person, and then that person's witness. We had the woman at the well went back and told everyone, the man I talked to is the Messiah. You know, he knew things about me that no one else would have known. And yes, God did, through Jesus, heal those that were sick. It was always with the purpose to point people to God. It was always the purpose to understand that if you meet people's physical needs, then they're more open to your spiritual needs. They will listen to you. So two things. Learn these two things. Two signs of a disciple. Remain faithful to Christ's teachings. It says, you are truly my disciples, John 8:31. If you remain faithful to my teachings. Teachings is also translated commandments. We are disciples if we remain true to Christ's teachings. I put in my notes, not church dogma. That's where you get into, oh, the sign gifts have ceased. No, they're just inactive. Or occasionally God will use them. Well, what did he teach? Go and just meet people's needs in the small things, and I'll take care of the big things. So follow his teachings faithfully. Don't go to the latest health and wealth message. Okay, drives me nuts. I believe that there are more people deceived in America by the health and wealth gospel than by Satan himself. I mean, he has worked that out to where we are self-defeating ourselves when we say, give until it hurts and God will give back. God has always promised us blessings. It's not always financial. But man, in America, that speaks to us. You know, and I think Daryl even mentioned it. You know, we're more worried about getting this job or getting a pay raise. We pray about those things, but man, we don't pray about, you know, the kid that's wayward, our marriage that's struggling, you know, a person who has been unsaved and we've been praying for them for years. We forget about that because we have these constant little irritating things that come along. And yet God is saying, remain faithful to my teachings. In other words, you've learned from me, now do the things you've learned from me. And the second one, John 13:35, your love for one another will provide the world, prove to the world that you are my disciples. Love one another. Like, this is like the perfect thing for just remain faithful to what I've taught you and love everybody. If we get those two things right, I think the Holy Spirit manifests in our lives, in this church's life, in the church in this region's life, in the universal church's life. And it doesn't matter the denomination. It doesn't matter, you know, the dogma that you've believed. It's like when God shows up, he's outside of that box. That we have done such a good job of categorizing the do's and don'ts of Christ that we leave little room for the faith that says he can do bigger and greater things. And yet he's told us time and time again. And I'm glad he is a patient teacher. Okay? He is a very patient teacher. Because you would have thought, go back to my experience in Ukraine, that you would have thought from that moment forward, I would have faith to pray over anyone and expect God to do that. Like 2 weeks later, back in my normal church with normal people around, it's like someone's like, you know, we need to pray for such and such who's got this problem. And then you get the, but you know, the Lord may not heal him, but we still need to pray. And I wanted to like scream, but what if we actually prayed as if the Lord was going to heal him? Is that what's holding us back? You know, is that what's holding us back? But yet, silence that voice, because in that group, my normal was God here and not God out here doing the weird things. And, you know, even as we move into this time where I think we'll see more gifts, more spiritual healings, there will be those who doubt and will come up with, dare I say it, this will please some of you, make others screamish, follow the science, okay? Well, when it's a miracle and science says, this isn't possible, then you can't follow the science anymore. And I'm not saying we say, okay, none of us will ever go to the doctor again. I'm so thankful for the doctor who did the hernia surgery on me and feeling much better. I am thankful for God giving people, oh, by the way, he was a Christian, which was really cool to find out. Put me at ease with the procedures and things he did. But man, God can use science. He created science. He created the earth. So he can use science to heal, but he can also say, you know what? This one's going to be special and for my honor and my glory, and we're going to step out of science. We're going to step outside of follow this and do something that people have to say, how? God wants faith. God wants us to be faithful, and he wants us to love. And if we get those two things, we're well on our way to being a disciple. It's not about rules and regulations. Just be faithful to me. Learn from me, and then do it. Yes, you will mess up, because no one is Christ, and no one is perfect, and no one can do it as well as he. Even his own disciples came back and said, Lord, we couldn't cast this one out. And he goes, yeah, that one comes out by prayer and fasting. You guys aren't following what I'm doing. I sneak away and I fast, and you guys are, you know, come on now. Even his disciples in the garden, stay with me and pray. My time is almost up. An hour later, comes back, they're asleep. He kicks them, you know, wake up, pray. Comes back later, he goes, sleep. You know, he understood we are frail, we are human as disciples. We will never get it. If you think you've got it perfect, well, there's the humility issue that the kids can teach us about later. Yeah, because once I think, oh, I've got it all figured out, then God reminds me, really? Who helped you figure those few things out? You didn't do it on your own. It was my spirit in you. So our prayer points, I just basically stole Daryl's first one because I think this will be our theme going through discipleship. I choose to embrace the fullness of all that you have offered me as a disciple. Help me to walk in that fullness. Help me to walk in that fullness. Help me to understand all the details in your timing. And then the two here, I commit to remain faithful to your teachings as they are consistent with your purpose of life, healing, and freedom. I'm going to remain faithful to God. Come what may, we need to remain faithful. That's what a true follower of Christ, a disciple is. Remain faithful through the good times, through the bad times. And then the last one, as an outward sign of being a disciple, I think this is probably taking the place of baptism. Remember how Daryl talked about baptism being a sign? Early church was you were saved and baptized. It was almost simultaneously. And now we have someone saved and we wait a while till they're baptized and it's an outward sign. That's only in front of other Christians usually. Love is in front of the world. Or should I say maybe our love isn't in front of the world. And Christ said, what's it matter if you love someone who loves you back? Love your enemies. I'm thinking this is going to be in the coming days. Those who are loving on those who may even persecute them, who may even condemn them, who may say horrible things about them, they're going to be the ones that stand out, and the person's like, I don't believe what he says, but man, he's practicing it. and it's going to start putting little tiny cracks in the foundation of Christians are awful and they exclude other people and they don't help out. And it's going to start breaking that down as we see the world getting darker and darker. Our light as followers shines brighter and brighter. So I commit to love others as Jesus loved others. That means the Samaritan woman that, as a Jewish dude, I'm not supposed to even talk with because she's beneath me, I'm going to talk to her. That means the person that, you know, is struggling with drugs, and I don't want to get wrapped up in that because that's not my thing, that's this ministry's thing, I'm still supposed to love on them and care for them. It's the person who comes into church that maybe isn't dressed quite appropriately for church, but they're seeking God, and I don't suddenly exclude them. Christ was very clear about this. You know, when someone comes in, he couldn't get enough people to come into the banquet, so he told his servants to go out and grab anyone and everyone and bring them in. God is looking for those people that need love. And we are the hands and feet of God's love for others. So it's 11:40. I know it's an odd day. There's a lot of fathers that need to get out of here. So I'm going to just pray. We've shared, we've prayed. Thank you guys for participating so much. I hope we can hear from Daryl of what went on at Camp Sentinel. Last year, the two coincided, which was really neat. We'll see what God has planned there. So Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that it was a sightless love, that you loved us before you ever created us. God, may my love, may our love to others be like that. Not based on the color of their skin, not based upon their stature, not based upon their social standing, but God, just because you love them, I love them. And God, help us to remain faithful and true to the teachings that you have given to us. God, don't allow us to take only part of that teaching and apply the part that we like to our lives and forget the others. But Lord, apply all of those things. God, allow us even to be willing to die for you. And that's tough, Lord, because life is so precious. God, I pray that as we go from here, that you would be with the fathers and bless them during this day of remembrance for them. Be with each family at Camp Sentinel as they travel back, that there would be safety. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, thank you guys. It was a good class.